Okay, today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Lamed Tes. We left off in daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We just started the sugya yesterday of whether you're Maridin Karov L'Nichsei Shavoi, meaning if a person gets captured and he leaves all of this property behind, so someone's got to take care of it, or it seems someone should have to take care of it, because it's just going to become overgrown and it's just a waste of potential if we don't take the fruits that it's able to produce while this person is in captivity. So there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Do we allow a karov to go into the property and take care of the nichsei shavoi and benefit from the nichsei shavoi? So Rav says ein moridin karov l'nechasav. Shmuel says moridin karov l'nechasav. So we left off. Our last line is upashta, about 15 lines from the bottom of the page. Hava uvda ben arda upashta. Hava uvda ben arda upashta of sheshes mehamas nisin. So the Gemara says, well, this something like this happened in Narda, and Rav Sheshes was poshet this issue from the following Mishnah. Amle Rav Amra, meaning from the Mishnah that we from our Mishnah that we just quoted, meaning the Gemara had just quoted that I don't know if it was a Mishnah, a Brisa, that that said that darshin de pasuk v'chara api varakti eschem. So we said we know if v'chara api varakti eschem, obviously your nashim are going to be almanos, your children are going to be yisomim. Why does it have to then say that? So it shows that the women are mevakish li nasein ve'in manich nosan, that it's going to be a situation where not only will a person be dead, but his wife is going to want to remarry, and then she won't be able to. She'll be in aguna, and the children will be rotzim leirid the nichse avien. They're going to want to go down to their father's possessions, to their father's properties, ve'in manich nosan, and they won't be allowed to. Why would the children not be allowed to? If you're MIA, if you're missing, shouldn't the children be allowed to go into the nechasim? So elamai, you see that it's a raya that ein moridin karov v'nechsei shavui, that we don't allow the karov to go into the property of one who is in captivity. So Rava had answered up that Mishnah as saying, no, that's talking about leirid v'limkar. We're not going to let the children go sell that property, but to benefit from that property, to enjoy the property, certainly that they're allowed to do. It's just that they're not allowed to sell the property. Now Tosos happens to be, Tosos in Dibur HaMaskal HaMarava asks, based on the Gemara Nivamas, he says, Vim Tomar, Amai lo parach mi masnis in di isha shaholcha, diktani matzinu she'ein achim nechlas lo nachla alpia, v'lishni nami leir v'limkar tanan. Why don't we have the same discussion centered around the Mishra Nivamos about a woman who goes to Medina Siyam with her husband and comes back and says that her husband is dead, so the brothers are not allowed to receive nachla based on her testimony. So, and we could answer that in that case also it means that they're not allowed to sell it, but that they do in fact receive nachla. Why don't we have that conversation regarding the woman whose husband dies? So he says, Yishlomer de mehacha alima leila akshuye mishum de dumyo de nashoseim katani de mashma klalo klalo. Over here it sounds like a much stronger raya, because we say over here not only are the children not going to get the nechasim, the wife or the wives aren't going to be able to remarry. Wives not being able to remarry clearly doesn't mean they can partially remarry and partially not. It means obviously they cannot remarry at all. And therefore, for parallel sake, it most likely means by the children, when we say they can't get the nechasim, not that they can get the nechasim but can't sell it. The pashtus is it really means they can't get the nechasim. So we thought this is a stronger raya, because keeping that parallel in mind between the wives and the children, it seems like a stronger raya. Tosfos didn't come up with that himself. The Gemara is going to make that hara as well, but the Gemara doesn't make that hara in regards to why we don't bring the raya from Yevamos. But the Gemara makes that hara in regards to how strong the raya is. So in fact, that's what the Gemara is about to say right now, that in Narda, Rav Sheshes tried to bring a raya from this Mishnah that the children are not allowed to take the nechasim, that ein moridin karov l'nechsei shavoi, and Amar Rav Amram. So Rav Amram said, no, dilma leirid v'limchor tanan. Maybe that Mishnah is only talking about that the children can't go and sell it, but that they are allowed to enjoy the nechasim otherwise. So Rav Sheshes answered back to Rav Amram, Dilma mi Pumbadisat, you must be from Pumbadisa. The Ma'ailin Pila Bakupa Demachta. Because in Pumbadisa they tried to stick an elephant on the head of a needle. And that's exactly what you're trying to do. You're taking a mission that so clearly does not mean that the children are allowed to take it but not allowed to sell it. It so clearly means they're not allowed to take it at all. And you're trying to, for Amford, you're trying to come up with a way to make it work according to all Shitos, even according to the Shita that Moridin. So he says, Vadum yadinashusayim katani. And his raya that clearly must mean that they're allowed to, that they're not allowed to take it at all, is the fact that it lists, it mentions the children not getting the property right after it mentions the women not getting remarried. Just like the women not getting remarried is obvious, ma hasam klalo, it's obvious that it means she's not allowed to get remarried at all. Afachanami klalo. So here as well with the children, it's obvious that it means they can't take it at all. Says the Gemara though, umaridin karl v'nichse shavui tanaihi. It happens to be that it's machlokas tanaim whether or not maridin karl v'nichse shavui. The tanya, because of the price as follows. Hayari the nichse shavui, if someone goes into the nechasim of a captured person, we don't confiscate the property from the person who went in to take over. Not only that, even if you hear that the person who is in captivity is on his way home, that they're sending him home, you hear he's coming. So you quickly go and chop whatever you can. You go and pull fruits off trees and start eating like crazy. Good for you. You took what you were allowed to take. You did your job. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Velu hay nichse shvuyin, and the following are considered nichse shvuyin. Hareshaya aviv o'achiv o'achad min amarishin, someone who you would yarshin halchulam l'medina siyam, goes to Medina siyam, v'shamu ben shemes, and rumor has it that the person is dead. So that's called Yorid the Nechse Shavoy, and that's totally fine. You're allowed to be Yorid the Nechse Shavoy. Now, the way the Brisa phrased it is that if you are Yorid the Nechse Shavoy, we're not going to throw you out, which perhaps has an implication that you really shouldn't go L'Chadchila, just so we're not going to throw you out. Says Tosfos, that's not what it means. Tosa says, we even send the car over there l'chadchila. You're allowed to go there l'chadchila. Tanatushim moridin Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, tamranatushim kashvuyin, because we're going to see soon, even by other situations, similar situations, which are not as strong, which you should not have as strong a right to go to the field, we're going to see that there is a shita that holds that l'chadchila you could go, that it's like a case of shvuyin. Ala agav the tana b'sefer benetushim motzien tananam b'shvuyin ein motzien. The only reason we use the lashon of ein motzien over here is because we're not done with this brisa yet, and the brisa is going to come up with other cases where we are motzien, where we do throw you out. So that's why when we talk about the shavuy, we use the lashon of ein motzien, that we don't throw you out. Either way, we're going to say that it's a machlokas tanaim, that this issue of marid and shavui is a machlokas tanaim. So ask Tosos, if it is a machlokas tanaim, why is it also a machlokas amoraim? Meaning, what happened over here? Rav said ein marid and karav v'nechasav, Shmuel said marid and karav v'nechasav on the fifth wide line. Right? We had that machlokas. So frak Tosos im tomer lema rav halacha ketana kama, Ushmol halacha from Shimon Gamliel. If Rav holds ein marid and karav v'nechasav, why doesn't he say we pass like ketana kama and Shmuel halacha from Shimon Gamliel? That would be the end of it. So why do they have to make it as if it's their own shita? So Tos says Yeshlam et Doshmielu who brisa. It must be they're not aware of this brisa that we're in the middle of quoting. Inami ika demafchilu. Either that, or some have this brisa, some have a version of this brisa where the shitos of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Tanakama are reversed. So it's confusing to say halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and halacha Tanakama because we're not really sure who said what. So instead, they don't give any hint to the fact that there was a brisa that already discusses this, and they just state their psak halacha. That whole conversation in Tosfos normally appears in Gemaras. And when there's a Gemara that has a machlokas tanaim, normally the Gemara will exhaust that. Tosfos just takes those answers straight out of every other Gemara in Shas, where it gives those same answers, the same basic answers. Anyway, the brisa is not done yet. Hayari the nichsin tushim lotzino samiyado. If someone goes into nechasim of netushim, we throw him out. What are netushim? Velu heinichse netushim. Hareshaya avavach v'echad min amarishin halchalam l'medina siyam v'lo shamu b'em shemes. Someone goes to Medina Siyam, one of your relatives that you would yarshin goes to Medina Siyam, and you didn't find out, you didn't hear that he's dead. V'amar Rishim Gamliel, and Rishim Gamliel says, shamati shenetushin k'shvuyin. Rishim Gamliel says, I think netushin are just like shvuyin. Meaning, I think that even in a case where you didn't hear that they're dead, it's ki'ilu, you did hear that they're dead, it's the same halacha as when you did hear that they're dead, and you're allowed to go into the nechasim. So you see, Tanakama holds our case where we had machlokas Rav and Shmuel is this case, is Netushim, where you didn't hear that they're dead. So you see very clearly Tanakama holds like Rav that you're not allowed to go, and Shmuel holds like Rav Shmuel Gamliel that you are allowed to go. And then a third case, Vayori l'nichsei Retushim motzii nosam yado. If you go into the properties of Retushim, everyone would agree we throw them out. Who are Retushim? They never left town. They're here. We just don't know where they are. They were in the city. They didn't go anywhere. We just don't know where they went. So, why do we call the middle case Netushim and the last case Retushim? They sound similar enough. Bottom line is, you don't hear of anyone's death, and you know that they're not here right now to take care of their fields. So why is one called Netushim and one called Retushim? And so the Gemara, Netushim de Bal Karcho, Tichsiv Ashvius Tishmetan Natashta. Netushim is Bal Karcho, where they're forced out of town. Afka Asa de Malka, like by Shemitah, where Shemitah happens, that's not your choice about Shemitah. Shemitah happens by itself. It's the Hafka of the Ribbono Shel Olam that makes the land Shemitah, that makes that determines when Shemitah's Karka is going to happen. Now it happens to be by Shemitah's Ksafim as well. Ruba de Ruba of Rishonim say that it's not up to you whether Shemitah is going to cancel the loan. It's Hafka Asa de Malka. It's that the Ribbono Shel Olam determines, look, it's Shemitah year now, automatic. You don't have to be Meshamit, meaning you have to be Meshamit. You have to be Mochel the loans. You have to say that I'm not going to collect the loans. So you do have to be Meshamit in a certain sense. But whether you are Meshamit or not doesn't determine whether the loan is cancelled or not. The Ribbono Shel Olam determines that the loan is cancelled by Shemitah. There is a minority view in Rishonim that says that no, why would there be a mitzvah for you to be Meshamit, for you to not go claim the loans and to forgive all the loans, all the money that's owed to you, if it happened automatically? So it must be that it doesn't that it doesn't happen automatically, and that you have to be the one to do it. The truth is, Rav Shachter points out often that it's not just because it doesn't happen, just because you have to do it doesn't mean it doesn't happen automatically. For instance, Kedushas Shabbos happens automatically every single week, yet we still have a mitzvah d'oraisa to be Mekadei Shabbos. Sometimes something happens automatically, but the Torah demands that we confirm it, that we confirm that we accept it, like we give a big amen to it. So that's how we do it, by Shabbos, by making Kiddush, and over here by Shemitah, by going and being Meshamet. But anyway, either way, you see that the Lashon of Unetashta, Netushim, implies that you were forced into the situation. So the person was run out of town. Retushim, what's the case of Retushim? Demidaitan, where it was up to them. Tichsiv Emal Banim Rutasha, where mothers abandon their children, is what the Pasuk in Hosea is talking about. The Pasuk says, V'kam sha'on ba'amecha v'chom v'tzarech yushar yushad kishod shalman besar avel b'yom al-chama, Emal Banim Rutasha, which Rashi has a whole arichus over here to explain what's going on in that pasuk, where we're going to hear that the enemy is coming, and because we're going to be afraid that the enemy is coming, we're not going to wait for them to attack, because if we do, they're going to totally wipe us out and totally decimate us as if it were a surprise attack. That's how strong the enemy is. Even though we know they're coming, it will be they will totally decimate us. So people abandon the place before the enemy gets there. So that's abandoning, is doing on your own. So Retushim is when someone leaves town on their own. Tana v'kulam shaman lahem ka'aris. And the last line of the Braisa is, and by the way, we evaluate in all these situations like an aris. So frek the Gemara aheya, which case are you talking about? We evaluate like an aris. We evaluate well like an aris. So ilim ashvuyin, if we're talking about a case where the people were shvuyin, which we said means you heard that they're dead. So hashta zaris v'niskarava ma'di ishbach mibayi. Of course, if he's even Zarez Viniskar, if we even say that, look, he hears that they're coming home, he's allowed to go and chop and take some fruits, and we say good for him for taking the fruits. So the fact that he's allowed to take his own investment, the benefits of his own investment into the land, that's a chiddush. Of course, he's allowed to take the benefits of his own investment into the land. Ella must be, what's the case that Shaman Lem Ka'aris, Aretushim, must be going on the case of Aretushim, the third case. What do you mean? He's not allowed to take anything. Then it's wrong. We shouldn't treat him like an artist. He's not allowed to take anything if it's Retushim. We throw him right out of there. Ella anetushim. It must be going then on the middle case. So says Gemara, but no, netushim isn't really a middle case. It's just a machlokas, whether it's in the category of retushim or shavuyin. So either way, you can have a problem. Laman, ilim l'rabbanan, if you can go like the Tanakama, hamri motzino sumiyado. Tanakama says that netushim has a din of retushim. And we take it away from them. We confiscate it. And if that's the case, then obviously we're not going to be shaman lem ka'aris and give them some benefits from the land. Iram Shimon Gamliel, and for someone like Rav Shimon Gamliel, Hamar Shemati Shana Tushim Keshvuyin. Rav Shimon Gamliel held that Netushim have the same din as the first case, as Shavuyin, as people who you've heard that they're dead. In which case, of course, you're Zaras Viniskar, you're allowed to take whatever you want. So either it's too Pashut or it's wrong. So what's the Vraisa teaching me when it says Shamalan Ka'aris? So answers the Gemara, Keshvuyin Velo Shavuyin. No, when Rav Shimon Gamliel says that Netushim are like Shavuyin, he doesn't mean fully like the case of Shavuyin. In the case of Shavuyin, Keshvuyin, Tein Motzino Sumiyado. Netushim are like Shavuyin in the sense that we won't take away when they go into the property, we're not going to confiscate the property from them. But they don't have all the benefits of the case of Shavuyin. Velo Shavuyin, it's not totally like Shavuyin. Yilu hasam, zariz v'niskar. Yilu hacha shamin lekaris. Because in the case of Shavuyin, you go and you take, you're zariz v'niskar. Wonderful, good for you. But over here, shamin lekaris, we're only going to allow you to take like an aris. Now what does it mean, shamin lekaris? So Rashi says, im yavohu habaylim, yitlu elu b'shevach karkaus uperus k'minagarisi hamakom. If the owner comes back, so then you got to cheshbin it out and figure out what an aris would have taken throughout this time that he was gone, and go through the cheshbonos and make a split. Ki ilu you were an aris the entire time. What does that imply? What if the owner? What about until the owner comes back? Then what? So the implication of Rashi is until the owner comes back, take whatever you want, enjoy yourself. You're just going to have to make sure that you reimburse him and figure it all out when he comes back and treat yourself like an artist. That's the implication of Rashi, that you can take whatever you want until he comes back. What's interesting is that the Tur quotes this Shita that we just said is Shitas Rashi, that you can take whatever you want until the owner comes back, as the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam, in fact, does say it. And he quotes Rashi as saying that you're only allowed to take the Chelek Ha'aris the entire time that the person is gone. It's not just about figuring it out when he comes back. The entire time that he's gone, you're only allowed to take the chelek aris. The Bach on the Tur points out that the Tur's quotation of Rashi seems to be against our Rashi. Okay, so maybe other Rashis that the Tur was medayik from, but our Rashi certainly seems to go along those lines. Now, what's the difference between the case of Netushim and Shavuyin, where by the case of Shavuyin we say you're Zariz v'niskar, and by the case of Netushim we say, look, we're not going to take it away from you, but we're only Shaminu Leka'aris. So if you look at Rashi, Dilu Hasam, Zariz v'niskar, says Rashi, Dekivan Sheshamu Bo Shemes, once rumor started spreading that the guy's dead, Ki Nachas La Adaita Dekulu Peri Nachas. So when you go take over the field, you're intending on yarshining the field. Your das is to take everything. Aval hacha delo shamu shemes. But in the case of netushim, you didn't hear that the guy is dead. So when you went into the field, lava daita dekula nachas, you're not going in thinking that you're going to this is yours to keep and that you're going to have the field forever. Elulitel ka'aris. Obviously, you were going into the field with the understanding that you're only going to take like an aris because shana v'shar peros yemunachin. All the rest of the peros will have to be set aside. But you knew initially that you're only going to take like an aris. In the case of shvuyin, you thought you were going to take like the bailim. You thought it was going to be yours, and that's why you're entitled to everything. Your zaris v'niskar. Asks the Rashba on Rashi, because you thought it should be yours, therefore it's yours. Why does that make any sense? The guy comes home. He comes home a few months later. He's there. He says, I want my field back. And by the way, I want you to reimburse me for everything you took from my field up until this point. I only want to pay you like a sharecropper. And you say, no, that's not fair. I thought it was mine. I have to lose anything? I don't care that you thought it was yours. It's not. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm breathing. Why does it matter what you thought? Your thoughts are kaveya. So the Rashi was very bothered by this. Rashi says, "Mipnei shedaita lita al kol yizka b'shel acherim." What? Because he wants to take everything. He's allowed to take other people's stuff. So the Rashi says, "No, it's all part of the takana d'rabbanan." That the main concern we're going to find in our sugya, and we found already, is that we don't want the person going into the field to be mafsid the field. So if the person feels, if he thinks this is going to be his for good, so then he's not going to be mafsid the field. Now, if the halacha were that we would only treat him like an aris, so then there's a much greater concern that he's going to be mafsid the field. But the whole takana is that he shouldn't be mafsid the field. So the chashash is greater. Actually, say it the other way. The Rashba says the other way. The chashash is greater that he's going to be mafsid the field if he hears that the original owner is dead. Because who's going to stop me? Right, who's going to stop me from ruining the field and sucking out all of its nutrients and whatever? So there's a greater chashash that he's going to be mafsid of the field. Therefore, we say, look, we're going to treat you like an owner now. So treat it like you own it. Treat it like you would treat your own property. And obviously, don't be mafsid it. Because we're afraid he's going to be mafsid it when he hears that the owner is dead. When he doesn't hear that the owner is dead, there's less of a chashash that he's going to be mafsid it because he's going to be afraid to get caught. Okay, says the Gemara. Actually, one more ha'ara. The Maritzchayis over here, and Maritzchayis over here on Vekulan Shamlan Ka'aris. He says he is bothered by the lashon Vekulam. Vekulam Shamlan Ka'aris. And then the Gemara says, what's Vekulam talking about? Is it talking about Netushim? Is it talking about Retushim? Is it talking about Shvuyin? Kulam. Kulam sounds like everything. So says the Rashash. Hine b'shas chakru al eza ofen kai hach. Well, which case this is talking about? V'shavim im al nechse shvuyim, o al nechse retushim, o al nechse netushim, ve'ich nafa lashem kulam. He says, I don't understand how kulam could be only one of those three. It's either netushim, and the Gemara's maskan is that it's only talking about netushim, aliba, the one shita. Right, so I don't understand. How could it say v'kulam? Ve'ich nafa lashem kulam al zeh. And he says, ayin mashakasim marana kesev mishnah, sov perek vav milksi sodei Torah. I think we've mentioned this in the past. I don't remember where. Al mashakasim Rambam, de kol malkaya ha'amur b'daniel chol, de'ein nofa lashem kol, al shnei dvarim levad. That the Rambam discusses, based on the Gemara in Shavuos. The Gemara in Shavuos takes different lashonos that you find that could mean God, it could refer to God, it could refer to something else, and tries to explain all the times that this word appears in this Sefer or in this section, it always means the Ribono Shel, except for one, or except for one or two. And one of the examples is, for instance, the Gemara says, every time the word Shlomo appears in Shir HaShirim, right? Is it Chol or is it Kodesh? Does it refer to the Ribono Shel, or does it refer to Shlomo himself? So every time the word Adon appears in the Parsha by Avraham Avinu, is it a reference to, or the Parsha of Lot, is it a reference to the Ribono Shel or the Malachim? Right? So that's what the Gemara deals with. So the Gemara says, Kol Malchaya Ha'amur B'Daniel, every Malchaya, every time the word Malchaya, Daniel's in Aramaic, so it doesn't say Melch, it says Malchaya. Every Malchaya that it says in Daniel is going to be Chol, is not going to be referring to the Ribono Shalom, except for whatever, except for one or two cases. But says the Rambam, how many times says Gaz Mishnah, how many times does the word Malchaya appear in Daniel? So he says he doesn't understand how the word Chol could be used over there, because it's only two. So it's only two times. So kol, every single time, is only twice. He says, v'kan mashma d'nofal al zeh lashem kulam. So he says, but you see from this Gemara that that's okay. You could use the word kol, apparently, even for only one. That kulam, kol, is okay to use in such a case. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara Vayter. Why is this any different than the following Mishnah? If a person goes through expenses to enhance his wife's nichse maluk, and he spent a lot of money and he got very little benefit from it, or kima v'achal harbe, he spent a little but the investments really paid off a lot. Masha hotzi hotzi masha achal achal. What he spent, what he ate, and that's it. He doesn't get anything more. So why don't we say the same thing over here by the someone who's yored the nichse shavoy? So says Mar Halo Damya Elulaha Hamotzi Atzos Al Nuksi Yishto Ketana Kimotzi Al Nuksi Achadami. Now our case is more similar to a guy who goes and spends money on the nechasim of his Ketana wife, and that's considered like Motzi Al Nuksi Acher, like expenses on someone else's property. Why? Because a Ketana wife, we're not stam talking about a Ketana wife whose father gave her over for kiddushin. If that were the case, she's a real wife. Ketana wife means her father was dead, so no one was there to give her for Kiddushin, except for Midrabbanan, her brother and mother are able to give her over for Kiddushin, and she maintains the right to be Mema'enes. She maintains the right to undo the Kiddushin when she becomes a Gedola. So the marriage is so fragile right now. You're married to this girl, but you don't even need to give her a get-at. By the age of 12, she could just say, not interested, you're not my type, and just walk away from everything. So every investment you make in that property is very scary. So, Alma, kibin de lo samcha daite, takinu le'rabbanan ki yechid zolav sedinim. So apparently, because he doesn't have smichus das that this property is going to stay under his watch, so the rabban made a takana that he should be able to get his investment so that he should not be mafsid the property. Hachanami in our case as well, takinu le'rabbanan ki yechid zolav sedinim. The rabban made a takana so that he shouldn't destroy the land, so we allow him to enjoy his investment. V'kulan shamlan ka'aris. Right, we said kulan is like an aris. So the truth is the Gemara makes the diuk that Maritzchai is made. V'kulan lasuyemai. What does kulan mean? Right, you said kul, it's only going on one case. What else is it coming to include? Lasuyi hadam Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel shavu shenishva moridin karl v'nechasav. Comes to teach us that which Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, that someone who gets captured, we allow karov to go into his nechasim. Yatzal ladas ein moridin karl v'nechasav. But if he goes ladas, if he goes intentionally, so we don't allow a karov to go into his nechasim. Now, one second. What did Rav Nachman teach us in the name of Shmuel over here? Shavu shenashvam moridin lechasav says Tosfos in Tom Barama Shmuel Chadazimna. Didn't Shmuel already teach us that already? Shmuel already told us once. That was the fifth wide line on fifth wide line on Lamed Chesem and Beis. Shmuel Amar moridin karov lechasav. Right. That was the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So what's he teaching me now? So says Tosfos. No, the whole chiddush is in the second line. That even though b'shavu moridin yatzal ladas ein moridin, that if he goes down ladas, if he goes into the, if the person left ladas, if the person was not forced out of town or captured out of town, he just left, so then ein moridin kalav nechasav. But Rav Nachman didei amar boreach hareu k'shavui, that even someone who runs away, he's considered like a shavui. So you see that you're allowed to go into his nechasim even if he's a shavui. That's v'kulon shaman len ka'aris. Even a boreach is shaman len ka'aris. So boreach machmas mai. Ask the Gemara, ran away, why? Ilem machmas karga hainu ladas. If he ran away because of taxes, so there's a day that the taxes are coming, are going to be collected, you go intentionally before that day. So you know, April 15th is when I got to be out of town by. So that's called Yorid Ladas. That's not called being chased out of town. You know, in advance of April 15th, you better get out of town. Eloborech machmas mardin. No, it must be that you ran away because they're after you to kill you. So that's the case. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Shavu Shenashva V'Niach Kama Liktzar Anavim Liftzar Tamarim Ligdar Zesim Limsok. Let's say a person is held in captivity and he leaves produce in the field that needs to be harvested. Based in Yordan L'Chasav Umamidin Apotropos V'Kotzer Botzer V'Goder U'Mosek. Bezin sends an apotropos into the field to take care of all that stuff, to harvest everything from the field. And then once the apotropos harvested everything, then we send the karov in to take care of it from there on. But prior to that, if everything is ready to be harvested, then Bezin takes care of that immediately. Frak the Gemara, once we obviously don't trust the karov to do it, right? We want an apotropos to do it, so v'lokom apotropos liolam. Why don't we just leave an apotropos there forever? Why would we allow the karov after the apotropos is done with his initial harvesting? Why would we allow the karov in after that? Answers the Gemara, apotropos ledikni lomukaminan. Because to be an apotropos in a field, it's volunteer work. How's Bezin going to find an apotropos? Someone says, I'll volunteer to be the apotropos, I'll take care of it. Now, who's going to volunteer? When do we normally have an apotropos? You have Yesomim. So you put up signs, Nebuch, you announce in the shul, Nebuch, there's a situation of Yesomim. Chal Yisrael Rachmanim Baishanim V'Gomlei Chasadim. So we're clearly going to be excited to and interested in doing a chesed for Yesomim and taking care of their properties while they're helpless and they're unable to take care of themselves. And the Torah says, how many times does the Torah say that we should help those who are helpless? We should help the Almanas and the Gerim and the Yesomim. So of course, for Yesomim, you're going to find plenty of volunteers. But you're going to go and you're going to say, oh, we need some charity. There's some guy. He's a wealthy guy, and he just, you know, decided to leave town and leave us all here. So someone's got to take care of his property. Good luck finding a volunteer for that. No, who's going to volunteer for that? So we don't make an apotropos for something like that. For the initial harvest, you can get a volunteer and say, look, Bezin needs somebody to go through one time and just harvest it. But on an ongoing basis, that's never going to happen. We don't make an apotropos for zikenim, for diknini. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Huna, ein moridin katan l'nechse shavu. We don't send a katan into the field of someone who's captured. Meaning, even if you hold a karov, can go into the field, but not a katan into a shavu's field. V'lo karov karov l'nechse katan, nor do we allow a karov into the field of a katan, into the possessions of a katan, that's captured. V'lo karov machmas karov l'nechse katan, nor a karov of a karov into a katan's property. Why not? So we're going to take case by case. Well, we certainly don't want a katan going into the shavui's field, because who knows what the katan's going to do? He could destroy the whole thing. He doesn't know what he's doing. And we're not going to allow the katan's relative's relative go into the field, because we're afraid he's going to be dishonest and he's going to make a chazaka in it on behalf of his own relative, on behalf of the common relative. Meaning, this is a case where Karav Machmas Karav, Rashi explains, you have a katan who has a brother from his father's side, and that brother from his father's side has his own brother from his mother's side who's not related to the katan at all. So that brother from the mother's side who's not related to the katan at all is not allowed to go take care of the nechse katan, because we're afraid that since he's a karov to the katan's karov, he's going to be machzik in that field with sorech, the common relative, and he's going to say that these properties belong to the common relative and not to the katan. So we don't trust him to be machzik in the field. V'lo karov v'nechse katan. Why don't we trust a karov? Kivin de lo machi asi lachzukebe. Because again, we don't trust a karov either. We don't even trust a karov of a karov. Certainly, we don't trust a karov to go into the katan's field. We're afraid the karov is going to try to be machzik in it, and he's going to try to claim that it's his when in fact it is not his. It belongs to the katan. So we keep the karov away. Why are we more concerned a karov is going to claim that it's his? Because it's more likely that it's his. Meaning, it's more believable that it's his, because they're related to each other. Amar Rava, Shma min amid Rav Huna, but what you see from Rav Huna is ein machzikin b'nechse katan, that we don't make chazakos. You're not allowed to have a chazaka in nechse katan. We're talking about the chazaka, not third parak of Bab Metzia type of chazaka, third parak of Bab Basra type of chazaka, which is cheskas karka, cheskas gimel shanim. Right? You can't have a cheskas gimel shanim in the chasim of a katan, va'afilu higdil, even if the katan gets older after you initially go into his field. Meaning, even if the katan, after you take over his field, the katan becomes a gadol, and you stay there for 3 more years, still it's not a chazaka, because since the tchilas yiridasa, the first time you went there, he was a katan, and he didn't know to be melchet, to make a macha'a, so mele it's not a good chazaka. Any chazaka that doesn't have the potential for the original owner to make a macha'a is not going to be a good chazaka. And the katan over here can't make a macha, he's a little kid. And this whole halacha, that ain't moridin karov, v'nechse katan, that we don't allow karov into his nechasim, is only on the paternal side, who are also yarshim and might claim it for themselves. Av ba'achidi ima, less than ba. But as maternal relatives, we don't have a problem with it. And even paternal relatives, it's only a problem if the issue in question is land. But if it's houses, if it's a home in a residential area where it's very possible that that neighbors will know who it does and does not belong to, so then there's no concern. And in land also, it's only an issue if you didn't make an itita, if they didn't make a shtar chalukah, if they didn't make a shtar to divide it. But if they made a shtar chalukah, then everyone will know about the shtar chalukah, and you don't have to worry that anyone's going to be able to take away the katan's rightful land. So says the Gemara, that's nice. However, v'lohi, none of that is correct. All these chilukim are interesting in terms of we could see where they're coming from, but we don't accept it. Doesn't make a difference if it's a maternal or paternal relative. Loshna aras of loshna bati. Doesn't make a difference if it's land or homes. Loshna avidita, loshna lo avidita. Doesn't make a difference if they wrote a shtar chalukah, didn't. Lo machtinan. Relatives have no business going into nechse katan. We're afraid that they're going to try to take it over. We're afraid they're going to try to make a chazaka and claim that it's theirs. They have no right to go into nechse katan. Period. Story. Hayisafta dahavila tlas bansa. So you have to follow all the characters in the story. There was this older woman who had 3 daughters. Ishtavai ihi v'chadabarta. So she and one of her daughters were captured. Idach tarti bansa. Amongst the other 2 daughters who were not captured, who were left behind, shchiva chadaminayu v'shafka yinuka. One of them died and left a child, and the other one's still around. Right, so one daughter is captured with the old woman. One daughter is dead but left a child behind, and one daughter is still there. So what do we do with the nechasim of this old woman? Samar Rabbi Hechinavid, what should we do over here? Look, minu l'nifse biyada da'achta, should we just give the nechasim to the daughter or the sister that's still alive, that's still there, alive and in town? Dilma shchiva safta, they meridin kav nechse katan. Maybe the grandmother's dead, and if the mother's dead, and if the old woman is dead, and if the old woman is dead, then the property should be split amongst her three daughters, including the dead daughter, which means the dead daughter's child gets one third of the property, has a one third right in the property. And you're not allowed to let a relative into nechasim that belongs to a katan. So this kid's aunt shouldn't be taking over his nechasim. So you can't take the live daughter that's left behind in the town and let her go and take over the property. So what's the other option? Nukminu l'nichse b'yadu d'yanuka? You want to give the property all to the kid? Dilma lo shchiva safta, vein meridin katan l'nichse shavui. Maybe the old woman's not dead, and then you can't allow a katan to take over in the nechasim of a shavui of someone who's been captured. Meaning, the Gemara's suggestion would have been to let him take a third, let him take his part, but you can't, because maybe he doesn't have a part. Maybe it still all belongs to his grandmother, and she's a shavui, and you can't allow a katan to take over for a shavui. Samar Abayi says, Hilkach, what we do is as follows. Palbi yihimna l'la'achta, half of it you give to the sister, v'idach pagamim k'min l'apotropel yinuka, and the other half, you give it to an apotropos to take care of for the child. So that's how you split it up. Now, says Tosfos, Mukminin l'apotropos, actually a couple of Tosfos, and go back, Dilma shchiva safta, says Tosfos, Dilma shchiva safta, Yom tomer hodinam perakal geta, maybe get medina siyam, v'inichu zakin ochol, and nosin l'becheska shukayim. We had a Gemara in Gittin that said, if you bring a get from medina siyam, and the person, the husband who sent the get, you last saw him, he was very old or very sick, you're allowed to give the get, assuming he's still alive. So why do we have to be choshish over here, maybe the safta's dead? So says Tosfos, Yeshomer the safta higil gvuros. The Gemara over there says that if you left them really old, if they were 80 or above, so then you're not allowed to assume that they're still alive. Then you have to assume that the taka are dead. This safta was 80 years old. She was higil gvuros. Achasha, Frek tells us, wait a second. The besamach amrinan hilchach palgi avinu laachta trei tilsi havala lemesav. Soon we're going to say, and we just saw this, that you give half to the sister. Why do you give half to the sister? You should give 2/3 to the sister. That filu shchiva safta mestama bartel shchiva. I mean, if the only reason we're assuming the grandmother's dead is because she's 80 years old, well, the daughter that went with the grandmother is probably not dead, because she's not 80 years old. So why are we splitting this property in half, pretending that it should only be split in two ways? What about the daughter that's with the grandmother? It should have really been split in three ways, right? Because she's still alive. She's don't tell me the daughter is also 80 years old. How old is the grandmother then? Because Dim Kane, Safta Spalga. Because then the grandmother's really old. And once she's really old, interestingly, if you remember that Sugi and Gittin, we don't have to be choshish that she's dead anymore, ironically. Because once she's really old, we just know about her that she defies all odds, that she doesn't die. She just doesn't want to die. So then we don't assume that she's dead anymore. So back to the kasha then. So what's going on over here? What's the situation where you would assume the grandmother is dead and the daughter also? I mean, if the Gemara in Gittin says we don't make such assumptions, so says Tosfos, no, it's dafka gabe get becheska shukayim mishumiguna. It's a special kula that we have by get that we assume that the person's still alive because we don't want an aguna problem. So it's dafka by get that we're going to make such a leniency. And next Tosfos, mukminin l'apotropos, says Tosfos in Tomar. How can you make an apotropos for the katan in this field? The halach is you don't allow a katan to take over the nechse shavui. The pashtus is, even with an apotropos, you can't have a katan send an apotropos to take over the nechasim. The implication is that if the grandmother was really dead, you'd give everything to the sister. If the grandmother was really dead, why would you give everything to the grandmother's daughter, right, to this kid's aunt? Shouldn't you allow the kid to take his portion of an apotropos? Elevade b'chaledin ein moridin katan must mean that when we say ein moridin katan, we're serious about it. You're never moridin katan. The kiven shakatan adon apachopos ulay yishmel the katan shlolach roshlolizra. Since the apachopos knows who his boss is and he knows that the katan is his boss, maybe we should be choshesh that the apachopos is going to ruin the field on behalf of the katan. So why all of a sudden now we allow the katan to send an apachopos? So it says, tells us, Yeshlom, the Hadakam Palga, Mukmin le Apachopos le Yanuka, Lolechel Kolaperis Kidin Kavari Hayori le Nixe Shavli, Elisha Yishmar Apachopos Kidin Aris, Becheska Savta, Visparnes Hakatan Mizeh. No, it doesn't mean that the Apachopos takes it over like anyone else would have taken it over. The Apachopos has very minimal control over here. He goes in like an Aris, tries to take care of the field, and gives the Katan a little bit of Parnasa, just that he should be able to survive off of the field. And that is better than just giving it all to the sister, but it's certainly not a situation where the apotropos is going to take on behalf of the katan the same way the sister would take her property. Okay, says the Gemara, Rava Amar, back in the Gemara, Rava Migo de Mekmin and Apotropo Lepalga, Mekmin and Apotropo Lidach Palga. Once you have an apotropos on half the field, you might as well keep an apotropos on the entire field. L'sof Sham of the Shechiva Safta. Eventually, they heard that the grandmother had died. Amar Abaye, so Abaye said, Tilsi Avinon Lava'achta, so a third you give to the sister, the Tilsi Avinon Le'Yanuka, and a third you give to the child, V'idach Tilsa, and the last third, Ya'avinon Danka La'achta, V'idach Danka Mekminu La'apachop Le'Yanuka. You give one half of that last third, you give one sixth to the sister, and one sixth you give to an apotropos to take care of on behalf of the child. Why? Because the grandmother's dead, but we don't know about the third sister. The third sister is still in captivity. So her portion gets split between the sister that's here and the child of the dead sister who's here, but the child of the dead sister can't take it himself because you can't have a katan go into the nixei shavui, so you let an apotropos go in on his behalf. And Rava Amar, Rava says, no. Migo de Mokum Apotropos Ledanka, Mokumin Nami Apotropos Leidach Danka. Once you can have an Apotropos go take over one sixth of it, you can have an Apotropos take the other sixth as well. So that last third is totally in the hands of the Apotropos. So we're going to stop here to get to the bris on time, Bez Hashem, and we'll pick up with the story of Mari Bar Isak tomorrow, Bez Hashem.